it's just a rap thing.
And we're back with episode 37 of The Sound of Struggle. I'm Chris Parrish.
And I'm joined by the third member of our faction, Mr. Sean Martins.
Hey guys, how's it going? Proud to be here. It's about damn time.
I blame your schedule and your place of domicile.
Yeah, you're right.
I blame Jack Prey because he's a dork.
Douche. He's a douche.
Twat waffle.
All of the above.
Yeah. Answer is D.
All of the above. I like it. So what's going on, Sean?
Well, you know, just in town for SummerSlam and last night's amazing NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. Yes.
We should tell the people that we are recording between NXT TakeOver and SummerSlam.
It is Sunday at 1:21.
Yes. We're doing a two-part podcast where we're going to tape our review of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3, pause, and then review SummerSlam after the pay-per-view.
All this and more on Sunday.
Yeah. For Super Slam.
Isn't it Summerfest?
Either way, it's starring John Cena!
So, what did everybody think of NXT?
Yeah, it's alright.
I thought it was a really, really good show.
A really big shoe.
Really big shoe.
Yeah.
Really, really big shoe.
So, we kind of had a surprise, too.
Adam Cole, baby!
That was interesting, nonetheless.
Yes, yes, it was.
And it wasn't just the debut of Adam Cole. It was also the reunification of Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly.
Yes, Red Dragon, or Red Egan.
Whatever the fuck you want to call him.
Red Dragon. The Reagan administration brings out Red Dragon.
Yeah, the Blood Brothers.
Yeah. Red Rum.
Yeah. So we saw, after the title match between Bobby Roode and Drew McIntyre.
D-Rue.
Where we saw Drew McIntyre become the 11th NXT champion.
The new NXT champion.
He gets blindsided.
Blind blasted in the mouth. No, from behind.
Yeah. Because you can do both at once.
Absolutely. Donkey punch.
I'm thinking double penetration.
DP. Yeah. For the win. Baby.
Bang.
Bang.
But no, the fact that we see basically three former members of the Kingdom from Ring of Honor stand tall at the end of the NXT TakeOver.
Yes. Two thunderous applause.
I mean, we did hear about the rumor of an ROH faction in NXT.
What would you call it? Sean Martins.
Yeah.
I would go with the Kingdom name. I would continue with the momentum that they have coming out of Ring of Honor television.
I guess they don't really use that down there anymore, so it wouldn't be trademarked or anything. But you definitely could.
But it could be.
It could be. We don't know. I'd go with the honor roll. Because that's funny. Because they're on a roll. And they're from Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be an interesting one.
Call it Team Bebe.
Yeah. I don't know. It depends if they... would you give O'Reilly and Fish a team name as well? Or would you just call them...
I'm wondering if
kind of like Sanity is Sanity. No matter if one's...
Which we can get to how they were doing the flip-flopping during the match.
Well, technically...
That was fantastic.
Technically, yes. It was not a flip-flop, but we'll get there.
I will flip-flop all over your... Yeah.
I just like to say that I called it. I noticed Eric Young in his gear and he's ready for a match.
Number one thing you're always told in wrestling, always be prepared. Bring your gear. Because you never know.
So we might as well start from the main event and work down.
Okay.
That's how a wrestling card works.
Yeah.
Best match first.
We'll talk about that after. Yeah. But I mean, how did we all find the Bobby Roode Drew McIntyre match?
I liked it. Kept me intrigued. I thought Bobby Roode was going to retain. So I was a little surprised. Then I was really surprised. And then I was happy.
I am going to mention that I did mention McIntyre winning last week.
You did. You did.
I thought the match was really good. I'm a huge fan of both Bobby Roode and Drew McIntyre. So there was no way that I was going to leave that match disappointed and new NXT champion.
I was very happy to see the Future Shock DDT come back.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
don't you mean the Dirty Deeds with a twist?
I mean, no,
the Future Shock DDT. Yeah. It's different.
Because the way Ambrose does Dirty Deeds is completely different. He doesn't sit out like McIntyre does.
And it's sloppy.
I mean,
ineffective.
I stole the Future Shock DDT from McIntyre.
That's true, you did.
Yeah. No, I think one thing I was actually quite surprised is just how jacked McIntyre is now.
He's a big boy.
Not even going to lie.
He's a big boy.
Like, he was it's always
6'7", yeah. 340 pounds of solid muscle.
He's not 340.
Maybe 0.01% body fat, so it's all muscle.
Well, I mean, if you're friends with Jinder, then you know.
Hinder Jinder, baby.
I mean, clearly he's taking the same substances as his former...
Blood transfusions.
I believe
that member?
I believe the term is supplements, or vitamins, if you will.
Explains Hulk Hogan so well.
Right, yeah.
Take your
vitamins. We will go with vitamins on this one. Yeah,
take your vitamins, kids.
Yeah, that's, you know, the B12s are really working well for Drew McIntyre. But no, I thought McIntyre looked very impressive. I mean, I don't think Bobby Roode can have a bad match anymore.
No.
But
my only thing is his finish, the Claymore. He's such a big guy, but he's using a single leg kick. Don't get me wrong, it looks good. But a single leg kick?
Yeah, but a guy...
That's like Hogan using his leg. It's like talking about his arms.
I think it's cool because if he goes and extends it, he can like be in the corner and he's still connecting with the guy in the middle of the ring.
Yeah, he is tall. Yeah.
But I mean, the size of just trunks that he has on his legs, like those things. I mean, he's going to be able to punt a good kick. And he's Scottish. I mean, they know how to kick him in the...
He should do the log toss and just pick a guy up and just flip him out of the ring.
Well, he did.
Land on their head, die.
He does that off...
Murder.
Off in the corner.
Yeah, that's true. Call it the murder toss. The murder toss!
Huh.
I'm getting a lot of shaking heads, so I guess that's not going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Maybe I'll use it.
That's maybe as bad as my ideas with the women.
Yes.
How funny it would be to think of porn names with the current WWE women.
If you have any, send them in.
Yeah.
Or don't.
Yeah, we don't care either way.
Yeah.
At Chris Parrish, I'll listen to them all.
Yes, yes, he will.
Yeah.
Or at Tag Struggle, SOS.
Yeah, just clutter
just,
our...
Just Tag Struggle, SOS. Clutter, not just Tag Struggle.
Clutter our podcast with porn names, please.
Yeah, that I'm okay with. That would be nice. That would be all right.
That would be strugglicious.
Yes, it would, bitch.
So, yeah, I think good match. I think this is definitely a coming out match for Drew McIntyre. I think
he's gay?
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, he's Scottish.
Ooh. Throwing shade to an entire country. Yeah. I like it. Come out of Scotland.
What kind of freedom were you asking for, yeah?
The William Wallace kind. Denied.
Yeah. Ones that come out of a closet.
Yeah. You know what? Bring it on, Scotland. Tag Struggle will take on the entire country.
Yeah.
Don't even care.
Yeah.
As long as you pay for our fare over there.
But yeah, no, I think he's finally established himself as a top guy.
Top guy.
Yeah. Just from his time when he first debuted as a chosen one, and now I think this is definitely the match that... You know, Drew McIntyre is definitely a top name in WWE. Whether it's NXT, whether it's the main roster, I think this match definitely solidified his place in the company.
I agree.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
But I mean, also the fact he's only 31.
Yeah.
Tons of time left there. He's going to have a long, healthy career.
Well, I think, too, what the scary part is he's already been kind of in the WWE realm for, you know, 10 years now. So he's not only a vet, by means, but he's also still young, so...
Young vet. He's a grizzled young vet.
Just imagine the leaps
and bounds. I feel like there's a song.
Right?
Right? Like, there's a song there somewhere.
There is a song there, brother.
But in a couple years, this guy's going to be just insanely good.
I can see him main eventing like Mania or something like that a couple years.
I can see him being Randy Orton good down the road.
I see him being better than Randy Orton.
Yeah, I can see him being better than Randy Orton. Yeah.
So
last thing we need is for him to win the title at SummerSlam and not win one for 7 years and just basically job to everybody.
Yeah. Now, what do you think this does for Bobby Roode?
I think it propels him to the main roster. He'll have one more rematch, but I think that I think they'll move him up.
You don't think a program is rather strong?
I mean, maybe, but is it necessary?
I think the program with Roderick Strong has to happen. I think they've put too much time and money into building this program with Roddy to just elevate Roode. Unless they elevate Roode and the story is that Roddy chases him to Raw or SmackDown.
That'd be all right.
Now, is anybody surprised Roderick Strong did not make a single appearance in this match?
I am 100%.
I am not. But only because he was up in that box with Kurt Angle.
I know that
that's a long way to run now.
I know he was, you know, from a storyline point, he told Regal he wouldn't, and Regal, I guess, asked him. But part of me is still, if a guy's questioning your manhood, questioning like your family, and like taking shots at it.
Well, he blew a kiss to his fiance. Yeah.
Well,
that's something that only Tag Struggle does.
I would take that as a compliment.
Right? That's what I had to do.
Like, yeah. Yeah. My love life's glorious, bitch.
You can look, but you can't touch. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm not getting in on the Bella steam with you.
I don't think anybody wants to get in on a Bella steam.
Except for John Cena.
And Daniel Bryan. Yeah. You can't see me. Yes.
It's true.
Yes.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I always thought Bobby Roode was going to stay champion till the Royal Rumble NXT, drop the title, and then debut in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
I thought him as number 30 in the Rumble, even with the big elaborate entrance, would be fantastic.
I think actually it'd be better if he debuts 29. It takes too long, and number 30 comes in and just, like, throws him in the ring from behind, and he gets knocked out quick. I think it'd be hilarious.
That could be rather strong.
Right?
I feel like the angle's written.
It has to happen.
That's what we do here, Sean. It's what we do.
Vince, give us a call. We'll help you.
Yeah. We're the brainchild of future WWE programming.
Exactly.
So now we go down to the NXT Women's title match between Asuka and Ember Moon.
I am shocked Ember Moon didn't win.
I'm going to say
Don't get me wrong. I like the way it came out. But I'm shocked.
I'm going to say this. This match was the match of the night for me.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the match of the night for me. I don't know.
Not match of the night for me, but it was definitely a very good match. I am not surprised to see Asuka retain the title. I still firmly believe that she's going to carry that title right up to her main roster promotion, and they're going to continue with that undefeated streak in her promotion to the main roster.
Pull the old page and take it up. Spattered title and all.
Just strip her of the title when she goes up to the main roster.
Well, that wouldn't be the only thing Paige has been stripped of.
No, I meant
Dignity.
Asuka.
And clothing.
I was talking Asuka.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Our bad.
Oh, dear.
Yes,
we got to get off on this Paige thing.
Oh, already miles ahead of you.
Oh, brother.
Brother.
So, what did we think of the match? And again, will we see another one between the two?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think those two are done. They put on a hell of a good show. And I think there's still more story to tell with that one.
Yeah. I still think if Asuka was to end her streak in NXT, Ember Moon is the one to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only if her streak ends in NXT.
Yeah. And you're still convinced now?
I'm still convinced that the streak will not end in NXT. They're going to want that marketing tool when they bring her up to the Raw or SmackDown roster.
Say like a Mania match between her, like, I don't know, like a Charlotte or somebody like that.
Or Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, there is talks about her training.
Yeah, and there are talks about doing the four horsewomen of MMA against the four horsewomen of wrestling.
That would be nice. I mean, isn't Roderick Strong's wife
Yep.
Isn't she one of them?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That could be interesting. And then she gets jumped from behind by Bobby Roode and reignites the... And it'd be great! Too much?
Yeah.
I'd still go. I'd watch it.
We are talking WWE here.
That's true. No men on women action. In the ring. Yeah.
Just behind an unnamed cameraman.
I thought we decided that that was...
Ryback?
Yeah. He said it was. He would never lie.
He was also... did you hear? He was also supposed to be the new CEO of WWE until Triple H got there. Came out of his mouth.
Until Triple H got there. You mean like years before Ryback was ever there?
Oh, yeah.
Man, he got screwed.
I know, right?
We should bring Ryback in so we can manage Tag Struggle Worldwide.
Yeah.
Or not.
Yes, I know, because we don't work out.
Well,
he can feed me more.
Beers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ryback Brew, come on.
Ew.
Well, no, if he just had like his...
Protein powder and
feet. We just use his money to make our own beer.
Oh, distilleries. Yeah. I like it.
Exactly.
I like it.
Okay. So the match right in the middle, because there was only 5 matches in NXT.
Which I like about the show.
It's
short and sweet. Every match gets the time.
Show felt like it went really fast.
Yeah. But it was Aleister Black against Hideo Itami.
Your thoughts, Sean?
The match was all right. It was not a lot of crowd work. I was missing some of the psychology. I really thought it was hard hitting. I was entertained. I don't know. There was just something that was missing there for me.
I was very surprised, given the whole Hideo Itami, Cassius Ohno, that Cassius Ohno played no part of this match.
Or the show.
Yeah.
It is a little surprising. I mean, I know there's only 5 matches, but it is a little surprising.
So,
we also did comment how there's no any of the guys from the UK tournament or anything in this as well, which...
Well, they did film a tag match before the show for a future NXT television.
So maybe he'll be part of that, or he'll be something to do with that, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know. I thought it was a good hard-hitting match. My thing with the crowd work, I don't think in WWE... They gotta work the crowd that much. I think the crowd is just trained to react anyway. It's a different dynamic.
No, absolutely. They kind of do their own thing, like an ECW crowd almost.
Yeah, I mean, NXT crowds are just so much more advanced than crowds. I know that we're used
to... Futuristic crowds.
Like the Cyborg of crowds.
Well, I mean, they're there, and then we all know that it's just a different ballgame when you go to an NXT show. It's just... It's a different atmosphere, it's a different feel, it's a different vibe.
It's just, that's the difference between NXT and then Tag Struggle. We make sure they earn their money. They're just like, no, we just wrestle, we don't care about you guys. But we're like, we don't like you, but we're going to put on a show. Because we're better. And we should be there.
Well, we're spectacular.
Yes, we are.
But we were Star-delicious.
We're both.
Ooh, yeah, and we're a little bit of all right.
Yeah, we are.
It's a lot of taglines.
But that is why we deserve them.
Yeah, that's why Tag Struggle stands out.
True.
Yeah.
True story.
So, I thought Aleister Black actually did not look better than Hideo Itami in this. I thought Hideo Itami really bumped up his aggression as a heel. I thought Aleister Black. This is kind of what we saw from when he had the match with Kyle O'Reilly, like the same kind of aggression.
Yes.
But I still saw a bit of a dip between. The levels of sometimes he was intense, sometimes he was calm, and I don't think with this match, it was, I just don't think the balance was there.
No, but, I don't know, I did enjoy this match a lot. I think it's the first, I don't want to say real test that Aleister Black's had, because he did face Cassius Ohno, and that was a good match, but...
And Kyle O'Reilly.
And he
Kyle O'Reilly was good too, yeah.
He also wrestled Bobby Fish.
Yeah.
That one was good, but not in the same way.
I didn't care for the Bobby Fish match myself.
It was much more amateur wrestling style, which I liked. It wasn't the same.
We also did see him wrestle as when he was still Tommy Yen against Neville.
That's true.
That match was fantastic.
I still think this, to date in his WWE career, was his toughest challenge, I should say.
I'm just not convinced that Aleister Black needed this win more than a Tommy.
I'm just surprised that Tommy didn't get hurt.
And I know exactly why, because I know that they want Aleister Black to be a major player in NXT. Therefore, it makes no sense for him to be coming out short in any match right now.
It's unfortunate, but it seems like Tommy's kind of more of almost like a jobber per se. Like, he's the one that you got to get through to go to the next level.
Well, I feel at this point, I feel that Tommy needs a takeover win.
Yes,
I feel like Tommy's missed his opportunities.
Well, he's had the injury
to help and elevate.
Yeah, he's got the injury.
I feel like Cassie Sono was brought back for the same reason.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Unfortunately, maybe it'd be kind of like Alexa Bliss. They'll do their thing on NXT, they'll get called to the main roster, and then they'll finally have their moment.
Still a good job. It's great payday. Nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, it's a little bit of all right.
I also wonder if, you know, if he was to take the Drew McIntyre approach, leave, come back, you know, kind of up his game.
Is that a Tommy?
Yeah.
But isn't a Tommy a little bit older, though? Like, do you think if he left, he'd have time to come back?
I don't know. It all depends on...
I guess it depends on what they're looking for.
But... I mean, like I said last week, I really thought that this was an opportunity for Cassius Ohno and Hideo Tommy to really pick up steam, whether it was them feuding or even a possible Cassius Ohno turning on Black and aligning himself with the heel of Tommy. I thought there was substance there.
And making Aleister Black, Black and Blue.
Oh, oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no.
Hideo no?
Hideo no.
Hideo no.
Hey-o.
I don't know. To me, it was just, I didn't dislike the match, but at the same time, it did nothing for me.
Sexually or otherwise. No. Yeah.
But, you know, we talked before about the Shinsuke-Baron Corbin match a couple months ago. I just didn't see the point. This match, it just felt like it was rushed. It made more sense to do a Tommy and Ohno.
Yeah. No, it's very true.
So,
But if, I mean, as you say, if they're really wanting to push Aleister Black, then it makes sense to have another match, keep him relevant.
And then that's more or less what I just don't get, is the fact that Aleister Black, it felt like he was rushing to a takeover match just to put him on takeover.
Yeah.
If he was to have a takeover match, there should have been a build for him.
Yep.
And maybe it would have been like with a Fish or an O'Reilly or somebody. But, I mean, obviously we saw... Both.
2-on-1.
Obviously, we saw bigger plans for those two.
Yes.
And that kind of brings us to match number 2, which was for the NXT Tag Team titles, where we saw Sanity take on the Authors of Pain. And we thought Alexander Wolf and Killian Dane were going to represent Sanity.
You guys thought.
Yes, apparently.
Well,
you have the inner link to...
as the general public, but as it was pointed out, very
by a young master Sean Martin's here.
Also, Mauro Ranallo and Nigel McGuinness pointed out on the broadcast.
I couldn't hear over Sean Martin saying it,
but
I was squealing like a little girl.
Killian Dane,
true story,
was never tagged into the match. Therefore, he was never part of the match. So before the tag occurred, Eric Young replaced Killian Dane, tagged himself into the match, and then therefore it was Alexander Wolf and Eric Young representing Sanity.
Which, I don't know if I've ever seen that before, and I like it.
No.
It's different.
I feel like it's any three-man tag team could pull that move.
I mean...
Not that we have any experience with that.
I also want to point out the irony that we're talking about a three-man tag team in Sanity, or also one, and there's New Day napkins on the table.
New Day!
Just going to point out the irony.
Yeah, there's also John Cena on the table, and I fondled it earlier.
Yep.
You can see that on Instagram, people.
At WrestleManiac.
No.
Yes, but either way, the way that they did that in this match, I thoroughly enjoyed it. The match overall, I thoroughly enjoyed. It's the first time that not only, spoiler alert, Authors of Pain lost, but also...
It's a review show.
I don't think you have to say spoiler alert.
Some people are stupid and haven't watched it.
Well,
we've just been spoiling the entire show.
Spoiler alerts. Anyways, the fact
if you haven't watched NXT, in the words of Deadpool, suck a cock.
Yeah. That's apropos there.
Yeah.
But I like the fact that not only did they lose, but they actually looked vulnerable and human.
Yeah.
They just weren't monsters. They were actually brought down a level based on, well, mostly Nikki Cross. She really stepped up her game in this match.
Well, I'm going to actually go in on that one point. I don't think necessarily Authors of Pain were humanized. I think what you did was you made Sanity look more vicious and smarter by playing the numbers game. I think you didn't devalue Authors of Pain here. What you did was you added more value to Sanity.
Fair enough.
And then you gave them another layer with this. They're just Sin not
viciousness.
They're just not crazy and like lunatic-y. They're actually intelligent psychos.
That's the best kind of psychos.
Yeah.
So the rumor coming out of TakeOver is that the Authors of Pain are on the chopping block to move up to the main roster. What do you guys think? Are they ready?
As long as Paul Erlewine's with them, then yes. I think he can help them. But if not...
I would definitely like... I think they're in the same boat as Bobby Roode right now. Whereas you can probably put them up and be okay. Now, I'm going to say this. If you're going to bring up Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax the time you did, why not Authors of Pain?
That's true.
That's very true.
Not to mention, it is a tag team. It's a different dynamic. They don't have to worry too much about doing too much like you normally would in a singles match.
Yeah.
On top of that, they're going to be very protected on the main roster if they're moved up.
Now, see, are they Raw or SmackDown?
And they may be able to break the Hardys.
That would be Raw then.
That would be great.
I'm just saying.
My biggest point of contention is their gimmick is very similar to what the Ascension was in NXT, and we've seen how well that's worked out for Connor and Victor.
They had flashes of brilliance though, when they just redid this brand split, but for whatever reason are not being used. They had
other passion files.
Which, don't get me wrong, that's a hell of a lot of fun. But yeah, you're right. I don't know, but they had, I can't remember, was it against, it might have been against the Fashion Police, but they had one match and they looked vicious as fuck. And then they just weren't used after that.
Huge fan of the Ascension.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is actually kind of funny because the Ascension, Connor, is actually, he kind of came up with Fandango outside, and then Victor actually came up with Tyler Breeze.
Which we found out from Jeremy's podcast.
Yeah, so the Fandango. There's actually a lot of history between those two teams prior to WWE.
Okay, sidebar. Which roster needs the Authors of Pain in the tag division more?
I think SmackDown. Only because when come December, when Scott Dawson comes back, the Revival are players again.
Yeah.
And therefore you have the one thing SmackDown does have is a lot of tag teams. What they don't have are credible tag teams. Like, I don't think
they have the Hype Bros. What are you talking about?
Is that still a thing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that's the thing. I mean, Zack Ryder, whether it was single or tag team, he's been in, okay, if maybe they had their relevant time, but then they just dropped off.
Mostly because of injury.
And honestly, people don't care. They're not emotionally invested in these guys.
No, that's true.
If this post-SummerSlam shakeup or guys get sent back down to NXT or taken off the main roster, I wouldn't be surprised if both these guys are.
Yeah.
Maybe Zack Ryder, probably not Mojo, just because he has the Andre the Giant win. But yeah, that might be a hindrance, and he might be the one guy that this did nothing for.
Yeah.
But
which, we'll get into this later, but
yeah,
Dolph Ziggler, he could be sent down too. What, he hasn't even been on anything.
He like might that. Even not, he might be out of the WWE.
Yeah, but which, I have a point, we'll get to that after we do the review, so, but
we'll finish off the takeover.
Yeah. Let's
maybe stay on point.
Hell no.
Why should
Sounds we? A struggle.
Why should we?
Staying on
Nobody points likes like, us being organized.
Yeah, staying on points like us with beer. We just do whatever the hell we want.
Yeah.
And drink.
But after the match, we did see Sanity become the new tag team champions of NXT.
No.
But we also saw O'Reilly and Fish come out.
With some sweet facials.
Yeah.
Man, they just worked those faces. Yeah.
But they absolutely laid waste to both Authors of Pain and Sanity.
It was nice.
It was
a little bit of all right.
And Sanity,
especially because they're not big guys.
But I go back to your point that, you know, if Authors of Pain are ready, I say now with these three teams, you actually have a clear tag division that you probably didn't have. Like when you had the Revival, DIY, and Authors of Pain, you had your tag teams and that you can get behind.
And TM61 a little bit before that one guy got hurt.
And they are close to coming back.
Exactly.
But then you allow teams like the Street Profits or the Heavy Machinery to not be forced into a major angle that they're not ready for.
I still say based on their charisma, Street Profits within, I said a year, but I'm going to give it a couple years. I think they'll be NXT Tag Champs. I really do.
Angelo Dawkins better hope so. He's been there a long time and done a lot of failed things.
It's funny because when I saw him, I'm like, oh, I remember him. He was a jobber once.
Mm-hmm.
Once.
But then again.
Several times, actually. But yeah.
Then again, that's kind of just like what Scott Dawson had.
Yep, that's true.
And Jason Jordan.
Tyler Breeze. He almost got fired.
And then now one is part of the Revival, and the other one is Kurt Angle's son.
Yeah. How the world works.
What?
Good for you, Chad Gable.
So yeah, this takes us to the opening match, which was Andrade Cien Almas
versus Johnny Wrestling.
Yes, Johnny Gargano, and Cien had his new valet, Selena Vega.
Thea Trinidad.
Yeah. Who I'm wondering, is Selena Vega related to Savio?
I think that that's kind of a connection they're trying to make with...
Like...
Daughter. Son.
Niece.
She's his son.
Love child. We have not seen a love child.
A bastard though. Love child, yeah.
Pet parrot.
Yeah.
Yeah!
She identifies as a parrot.
Yeah.
Sexually. And otherwise.
Chromosome child.
Yeah. Extra chromosome?
Only on the side.
Ooh, nice.
You can get that at Chipotle.
Ew. Dude. Gross.
Ask Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
$25 a bull. You need to learn to share, Braun. Learn to share.
Son of a bitch.
No wonder he needs that place.
I mean, the one time I want chicken, I have to be behind you. Selfish.
I can also say I've never eaten at Chipotle.
Not either.
I've always wanted to.
Oh, I have.
Any good?
It's pretty fantastic. It's a little bit of all right. A
little bit of all right indeed. Good stuff.
We tend to say Strugglicious.
That too.
That too, yeah.
I will say, I'm becoming a fan of Cien Almas again.
I did tell you to watch the match.
You did, and you know what? I was very impressed with his heel work. I just thought the whole going down the road of, oh, I'm too busy partying and stuff, I'm like, this is stupid.
Well,
like,
I mean, I think that's the whole point of Thea Trinidad. She's trying to...
redirect him?
Cut that shit out.
Yeah, he can't multitask like us. Party and win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Foreigners.
Stupid foreigners.
I'm going to go on the record and say that this match is probably my match of the night, and it kind of was baffling that it was the opener.
Yeah, I don't think it should have been the opener.
I think
I would have switched it with the Itami and Black match.
I agree.
Honestly, I'm not sure what the match tonight for me was. I'm going to have to watch the pay-per-view again. But I didn't have a bad match in this card. I like all of them. I want to lean towards the actual tag match, to be honest.
Yeah, you do kind of have a tendency to lean towards tag matches.
Every once in a while, yeah.
Way to go, Teddy.
Play a holla holla.
It was definitely a very back and forth match.
Yes.
And kind of a DIY, moment.
The finish, yes. That was nice.
I love the infusion of DIY helping keep Ciampa relevant. And
Bald Brethren. I like that guy.
My thing is, would have made it a little bit more impactful had we saw Ciampa throw that shirt at him than Vega?
I don't know that I agree with that. I think the idea that the DIY shirt was able to enough to throw Johnny Wrestling off just showed what that friendship and what everything means to him and how he's emotionally hurting from this tag team breakup. And I don't know if you noticed, but they panned to the ring after the match, and Cien had already left, and Johnny Wrestling was still sitting in the ring. And
slid away from the
way
shirt.
That he was looking at the shirt sliding away, it was just brilliant.
A little bit of all right.
But I mean, I'm just wondering, because would a t-shirt be as more impactful than an appearance?
I don't know.
Because initial appearance would be a shock.
Yes,
right away.
But I like the way they're doing this. If you do the t-shirt first, then next big match he has, they play his music, but it doesn't come out. Next match he has after that, then he comes out and attacks.
Now, would you play his music, or do you just play the DIY music?
I think I'd play the DIY.
Because yeah, you're right. DIY.
We also did see our Gargano have his new music.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree. Have DIY way, music hit.
Thoughts on Gargano's new music?
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
I think the person that did it was moron.
Well.
Because they released it early. But.
Released it the day before Gargano was turned on.
Yeah. But other than that, yeah. It's a good song. I like it. It fits him.
Yeah.
I love the female vocals.
Yeah, you do. I think we all do. At one time or another.
Wow, that really went sideways.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
The oral soothing of a female is a little bit of all right.
Anything oral that's soothing is something I can get behind. Or in front of.
Or on top.
Or below.
Yeah.
Depends on my mood. I'm pretty flexible.
Or like the wonk elevator. Anyway is a good way.
Just not to the chocolate room.
That's got to be a first for the Sounds of Struggle. The Wonka elevator.
I can confirm that is a first.
Same.
Throw in some sirens and stuff here. We have a first, people.
Who's gonna push that button?
Depends on what button it is. Back to the match.
Yeah. So, I thought we just did cover the match.
Yeah. No, but as I was saying, I think building up like that where. Eventually, Ciampa comes back. I think would work way better. The T-shirt now, DIY song second, and then third, have him just attack him, and then either he uses DIY song or he uses a new song.
I think Ciampa should have his own song.
Why?
I mean, if you
why Roman doesn't?
Yeah, but
if it's good enough for Roman,
right?
He is the big dog.
He's able to kick bitches off buses. Right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I know. Just ones that are afraid of heights.
That's funny, too.
We can totally get into that.
We will get to that when we do the SummerSlam review.
Which I think is funny, because I didn't know he was scared of heights.
Yeah.
That's funny. I like that.
Yeah. Now, direction of NXT going past TakeOver.
Onward and upwards.
Because, well, the one thing I was always wondering is once DIY split up, how did this fare for the tag division? Now, with a takeover after, I think the tag division is in a pretty good hands.
Yep.
My question now, again, you know, the direction of NXT moving forward, going to its next takeover, you know, what do we see the matches being?
The next takeover would be... Do they do one?
It would probably be Philadelphia for the Rumble, wouldn't it?
I think there'll be one for Survivor Series.
I would assume there was one for Survivor Series last year, so I would assume there would be one for Survivor
Series. Do we know where Survivor Series is?
Not Toronto.
No.
Because that was last year. I don't know where it is this year. I'm sure it's somewhere.
I want to say Boston, for whatever
reason. Boston!
But
fucking go sure. Survivor Series but, in Boston! Okay, well,
why don't we say this? Can we not confirm that the title match will be McIntyre versus Cole?
I'd say most likely, but there is a chance that Bobby Roode will want to invoke his rematch.
Or will we see maybe a four-way just to keep the match count down between Strong, McIntyre, Roode, Cole?
That is very much possible, too. It all depends on what they do.
And
Roode could very well get his rematch on just regular NXT show, and they could go with Cole going forward.
This just in, Sean Martin smells for Survivor Series.
Ooh, tell us.
It's on Sunday, November 19th, in Houston, Texas.
Ooh, TakeOver
That is Houston. Nowhere near Boston.
No, but that also plays into other rumors of a certain dead man and tonight.
Which we'll get to in the SummerSlam review.
Yes. Booker T's here? Sweet.
He also did use the Houston Hangover.
Can you dig it, sucker?
But, yeah, no, sticking with NXT. Sucker ever. The future direction.
Yeah, I can see for the main event. The NXT title.
But. I also want to point out, I would like to see a 3-man stable between an Orne Lorcan, Tommaso Ciampa, and Danny Burch.
The Bald Brethrens. Oh, I could get behind
see,
that.
I knew you would like
so
that.
Hard. I would get behind that all the way, 100% behind. Book it. I would say Vince, but book a Triple H. Make this happen.
And then you can bring back a bald Molly Holly.
No. Yeah, I guess.
Or Serena Deeb.
Yeah.
And she can actually drink on the road this time.
Yeah, that's true.
Not screwing kayfabe.
Yeah.
I mean, what's a kayfabe?
That has to be the last time that kayfabe was the reason that somebody lost their job at that company.
Yeah, probably.
Well, I mean, I could probably think of a couple ideas right now.
I'm sure Alberto Del Rio, for some reason. He's always getting blamed for shit, so I'm sure it's his fault. Well, this just in, he just got suspended again for something. I don't know where or from what, but I'm sure he did. He's very good at that.
I heard the owl stripped him of his title.
Whew. Well, that's a hoot.
Yeah.
You know what also is a hoot? Going to whatamaneuver.net and picking up old school One World Empire and OG the Struggle Gear.
Sean Martins, have you ever gone to whatamaneuver.net?
Oh, you better believe I have.
Yes, actually, his entire wardrobe right now is made of whatamaneuver.net t-shirts.
Yeah. Well, he also has the baby onesie on. It's stretched the fuck out, but he has one.
And it looks a little bit of all right. Yeah.
There's hats and hoodies and t-shirts, and this baby onesie is fantastic.
And Manai, you accidentally got the woman's shirt.
But I have to say, it hugs me just right.
Yeah. I mean, it was for, like, a Crash Holly-sized woman. However, so it fits very well.
Still fits pretty tight.
Yeah. Yeah. So, if you want any of your old school OWE and OG the Struggle Gear, go to whatamaneuver.net and pick them up now, because, you know, we need to pay bills.
Among other things. Yeah. And while you're doing that, you can also listen to this and the previous 36 episodes of Sounds of Struggle by going to Podbean,
iTunes,
YouTube,
Google Play.
Yeah.
I think that's it. Yeah. But yeah, and listen to it all there.
Download and subscribe to Edmonton SPN.
Yes, and you can listen to us, or, I don't know, quick calls or whatever else.
Yeah, you don't want to listen to that.
All the other stupid shows they have on there. Yeah, but we're not stupid.
If you want to, you know, like, say...
Or Struggalicious.
Bitch. But, I mean, if you want to do, I don't know, some vacuuming and just want to have some sound on in the background but don't really hear it, you put everything else on.
Yeah.
But you want to be entertained, you listen to us.
If you want to listen to something to put you to sleep, other shows. If you want something to listen to on the car on the way home, Sounds of Struggle is where it's at.
Yes. Relieve your daily struggle of work by listening to the Sounds of Struggle.
So if you guys are like us, and it's mid-afternoon on a Sunday, and you want to start having some beers, go grab a beer, and we'll come back with part two of episode 37.
Two!
Sweet! With our SummerSlam review. And we're back with part two of episode 37.
Sweet!
Oh, you're too energetic.
Yeah, it's just funny seeing you do it by yourself.
Yeah, it's still good.
Yeah. So yeah, part two of episode 37. Now we get into our SummerSlam review, where there's more matches than we like to remember.
It was 6 goddamn hours and 1 goddamn minute.
At least.
Shut up.
Hey, but that last minute was well worth it.
No, the last half hour was great. The extra minute was not necessary.
So, we will start with...
Pre-show?
The kickoff show.
The kick-ass show, which started with...
The only six-man tag.
The only title that was not defended tonight. Yeah.
So we saw the Miztourage of Bo Dallas, Curtis Axel...
With and Maurice!
Intercontinental Champion Miz... Take on...
Spirit Animal.
Spirit Animal.
The son of an Olympic hero, Jason Jordan.
Wow, has that story died.
And the Hardy Boys.
Who gives a damn about Jason Jordan?
Nobody.
Well, now, does anybody know that the Hardy Boys went from debuting or returning at WrestleMania now on a pre-show?
It's the Dudley Syndrome. The same thing happened to the Dudleys when they came back. Nostalgia was high, and they were in the title hunt, and then they ended up...
Not.
And they were pre-showing it for the rest of their career.
Can we all just say everybody just wants to see Broken Matt and Brother Nero?
I blame the Revival. They, you know, stay out of the hospital. They wouldn't be on the pre-show.
Says the guy wearing a Revival shirt.
I don't discourage. I mean, I fully acknowledge that I'm wearing a Revival. I love them, but they need to stay healthy.
Well, then maybe we should tell NXT to stop hurting them.
Sure. Yeah. Hey, let me give NXT a call.
And we're not talking about the match strictly because it was very uneventful.
It was a standard opening match.
So uneventful that it looked like a show that you can see at Edmonton, but it's not MPW. It's one of those other companies.
Yes. Yeah, that finishing move was pretty sweet, though.
It was very headline worthy.
Yeah.
Yes. Point is, there's 20 people in the crowd, and yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on. Second match on the pre-show.
We got to tell them who won.
The Miz beat Jason Jordan because no one likes him. Move on. Yeah. Next.
So then we get to the first title match of the night.
Which was
the champion
and Tozawa.
Yes. Zira Tozawa was defending his newly won Cruiserweight title against Neville, who decided to wear nothing but white.
Luckily, there was no bacon strips.
Yay!
I love bacon.
But I hate the strips.
I'll take it away, whatever.
And this actually was not a bad match.
No, it was not bad.
Had more people been in the building, maybe the vibe would have been better.
Yes. I think partially because they opened the door and 10 minutes later they started the show. But, I mean, what do I know?
Yeah.
I don't work there.
Yeah, you know, apparently nobody likes to get merch.
Or everyone likes to get merch. That's the problem.
No. Anyway, so, yeah, we actually saw the first of many title changes.
Five. That's half of 10.
I can't believe you kept count.
This podcast was sponsored by Bundy's. Five.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Neville gets the Red Arrow win as he went, what do you like to call it, ass to mouth?
He went ass to mouth for the win. You know, you got to do what you got to do as long as you get the W. Rapping. So.
And Neville is your first, in the modern era, two-time Cruiserweight champion.
Yeah, the only thing about that match that really doesn't sit well with me is the point on taking the title off of Neville last week. Other than to give him this two-time feel-good moment.
I'd have to say he probably took it off him just to spark a little bit of interest of, okay, maybe if we did something major, maybe more people want to tune in to the Cruiserweight and the 205. That's my only.
And clearly it didn't work.
Well,
maybe it did.
Oh, well, I guess that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Although I did say I called that one. That made me happy.
You were 1-0 on that one.
That's about as good as it got for me.
And then we go to which a lot of us thought might actually have been the match of the night. Was the Usos taking on the SmackDown Live Tag Team Champions New Day.
Which ended up being my runner-up for match of the night. Which we'll get to the match of the night later, which I think we can all agree on.
I think that this was my match of the night. Yeah.
Traitor!
I think when it came to pure wrestling and that excitement action, this might have been the better match. Whereas,
yeah.
The other match in question, it was definitely smiles and
hoorays.
Well, let's just say this match definitely lived up to our expectations of being one of the best matches of the show.
And it was a little bit of all right. Yeah.
And we saw title switch number 2.
Sweet!
And the Tusos?
The Tusos. With their second reign in however many months.
Jimmy and Jay became the first of the Samoans to get gold.
Dun, dun, dun? Question mark?
Yeah. And they now
become... Spoiler alerts. I had to.
Or is it?
I think we went through this in the first part. It's a review show.
Yes.
You're a fucking review show.
Spoilers are implied, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, he is one third of it.
Yes, that's true.
So, the Usos become the new tag team champions, and likely they will continue feuding with New Day.
Most likely.
We can only hope.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. So,
or
all right.
Perhaps another match with the returning Breezango between 2 weeks and 25 years, as their ad firmly said they will be back by.
Hopefully 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know. I need my Breezango fix now.
So, yeah. And this now officially ends the kickoff, and we finally get to the long-awaited four-hour show of SummerSlam.
At least.
Yeah, at a minimum.
At least.
And the opening match was...
John Cena!
Versus the failure... of the Money in the Bank cash-in holder, Baron Corbin.
This match was the best of the worst. Both guys have failed to cash in.
Yeah. And once again, in
true WWE fashion, let's put over the big guy.
Yeah. Baron Corbin laid down to the ever-needing, pushable John Cena.
You know what? I'm really looking forward to where this young guy can go, and hopefully one day he can capture a title.
I mean, I guess the true way of making a dumpster fire nickname stick is by having him lose.
And then throwing him in a dumpster and setting fire to it.
Baron Corbin, you and your streak of win losses right now are becoming your hairline. You're simply losing one after one after one.
Give up, bro. Just give up and shave it. And then go back a couple years, win the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and live out your glory years, you know?
And, yeah, so.
But overall, it wasn't a terrible match.
It wasn't.
It was way better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really have anything good to say about it. Honestly, that was like an entire year ago, it feels like, right now.
It was like at least 5 hours ago.
Yeah.
At least.
At least. At a minimum.
A minimum.
Yeah. So this takes us to our first women's title match of the night, which saw SmackDown Live's women's champion, Naomi, which is Imone spelled backwards.
Imone.
Versus the Queen of Hearts, Natalya.
Who, come to find out from them talking on commentary, has not won a title since like 2010.
Ten.
Foreshadowing.
So, yeah, what did we think of this match?
It was alright. I'm kind of, spoiler alert, glad that Natalya is now the new champion.
I am glad that that...
Not only does she deserve it, because it's her second title ever, but I don't know, I think the whole glow thing has kind of worn off, and I don't know.
Would you guys agree that tonight's SmackDown Women's title match felt very diva-rific, almost as if this was something that we could have seen in the Divas division, say, 10 years ago, before the Women's Revolution, and I'm using air quotations as we speak.
Our listeners can see that.
Yeah, that's why I'm describing it.
But honestly, yeah, even upwards of what, the Women's Divas Revolution, what, was it 5 years ago now? Even just before that, like, it definitely could have. I'm realizing now that I think WWE protected Naomi by having her in matches with Becky or Sasha or Charlotte not Lana. It started to look bad, but you think you'd blame Lana because, like, oh, she's new. No, actually, I think partially was Imone.
Even Alexa. Alexa is so good with the facials and the crowd work.
Yes, she is.
That she was able to hide the weaknesses of Imone.
Yes, I agree. Well, now Imone on her own.
Well, I mean, she can go to her husband who won a title tonight while she lost one. And she is...
What a bittersweet night for that family, right?
I mean,
back to the way that things should be.
Those titles are split down the middle.
Yes.
But yeah, no good for Natalya. Again, I think it creates a lot of new opportunity. The one opportunity we did not see was Carmella and the Money in the Bank briefcase.
They showed her briefly watching backstage, yeah. But you know what? I'm okay with it.
You thought maybe at a big show like SummerSlam there would have been perhaps a tease or something. Yeah. Maybe.
I like the idea of them playing this out and taking their time. I'm hoping that this means that Carmella's getting time in the PC. And I don't know that she's actually ready to be the women's champion yet. Mm. And the more practices she gets and the more time she gets in the ring, the better it's going to be when she actually does cash in.
I agree. Under one thing I have to clarify, PC, the Progressive Conservative Party?
Yes, the Progressive Conservative Party, Renai.
She runs for office. Good for her. Hopefully she gets enough nominations.
I thought he meant Parish Club. Just...
You have a separate club? Dick, where's my invite?
MySpace.
Oh, that's why I didn't get it.
Yeah. Share that URL.
Moving on. We're going to probably go to the most lackluster match of the night.
The popcorn match. The official popcorn match. Big Cass versus Big Show. Or what do we call it? The Mr. Big match. Big Cass, Big Show, and the Big Apple.
And we just... when we can say that the best part of the match was Enzo Amore, who was locked up in a shark cage, trying and successfully getting out of said shark cage.
By stripping down to nothing but his boxers.
Yeah, apparently he...
And he oiled himself up.
He had baby oil in his underwear. Because
you never know when that's going to come in handy. So see, keep it in your drawers at all times.
What does this say about an Italian who needed baby oil in his underwear?
We'll have to ask Sicilian Assassin.
I mean, don't want him. Yeah. No interest. I mean, you know what? When he wrestles, he lathers up a lot too, which is,
I mean,
it's weird.
Is maybe the Italian sausage a little bit more like an Oscar Mayer?
Cocktail weenie.
Mini dog.
Point is, my favorite part of this match was when the Murph ended up drinking some of Mrs. Manai's alcoholic drink and he started sneezing. That sums up the match right there.
I don't know. On a more serious note, I thought some of the cell work and whatnot of the Big Show selling the hand was done quite well. Big Show is becoming more of a thinking wrestler as he's getting older.
Well, he's like 45. He's going to have to become that if he wants to stay around.
I just thought this was a very good opportunity for Cass to show aggressiveness and a mean streak, and I think he failed to do that.
Miserably, I might add.
And this is always my pet peeve, whether I played hockey as a kid or just sports in general or even wrestling. My pet peeve is when you are gifted with the size of Big Cass and you don't have that aggressiveness or show that mean streak. It really ticks guys of my size off a little bit more because, you know, we have to go so much more than what maybe the average guy does just because of our size. And it's like, and it's, I don't know, for a 7-foot guy to constantly look like a bitch kind of pisses me off.
This is what you classically call a Napoleon Bonaparte syndrome.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, you're 7 feet tall. Lay a fucking shot in.
Oh, I'm not disagreeing with you. It's 100%. Like, right. He needs to, you know, ship up or shit off. Whatever.
It's a lot of sounds.
Sounds. Point is, big ass, get your shit together.
Come on, Big Cass, start laying in those big shots. And then maybe we can see some big money sends from you.
And then maybe one day you'll actually get a big shout out from us.
No.
Maybe one day he'll get a real name instead of Big Cass.
And maybe Vince will give him a big push.
Colin, if that is your real name.
Yeah.
By the way, happy 30th birthday, belated. Even though I really don't care.
Or know you.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Hopefully got a how-to manual of not being a little bitch.
Moving on.
I don't know, because you really can't teach that. Anyways, next match. The incredibly long Iron Man style of Randy Orton versus Rusev.
Yes.
My God. I don't know how either one of these guys have the cardio to do this
now, match. Now, on the official result, how long did it say this match was?
Officially, 10 seconds.
10!
Yeah.
10! Basically, this sums it up. Rusev attacks Randy Orton while he came down. They get in the ring. Match starts. Randy Orton reverses a running attack in the corner. RKO, 1-2-3.
No. RKO driver.
Well,
that was a brutal looking RKO to my boy Ruru.
Poor Ruru.
Yeah.
Ruru had to eat the doo doo tonight.
Ruru is worth so much more than what he's being given right now.
I mean, at least he got 5 minutes of heat pre match starting.
I mean,
there's that.
It could be worse. He could be like the sixth man and had 10 people watching it.
Yeah, that'd be even worse. Although, to be fair, the way that match went, maybe it should have been pre
show. Yeah.
Just saying.
Well, I mean, again, like, to me, this was one match where I don't see the point of it being even on the show we got to put Randy Orton on SummerSlam.
It was kind of thrown together. Yeah. Because it kind of seemed like thrown together and then just thrown together at the day of. It's just pointless.
Yep.
And it's like a match with Eddie Rude. It's pointless. Everyone beats Eddie Rude. Just saying.
Moving on.
Oh. Sasha Banks, Alexa Bliss.
Yes.
And go.
And yeah. This is, I would say, the better match between the two women's matches. However, this was definitely a hard-hitting match.
Yes, it was.
The phrase, these two girls don't like each other, really did not set the bar of the actual match. Because you can tell these chicks did not like each other.
That's very true. You gotta wonder if this was a work or something of a shoot, because there seemed like legitimate hatred here. And it showed, but they managed to make it work in a good way, because it was actually a good match.
Well, the one thing that Vince McMahon, I think, is known for, that if he knows two of his employees are having heat with each other, he puts them in a professional situation and see if they are professional about it.
AKA King Booker and Batista.
Well, we can also look at Matt Hardy and Edge.
Why? What happened there? Lita happened there.
Yeah. So. I don't know if we have time to tell that story.
I think
spoiler alert, Lita cheated and then went with Edge. The end. We're good.
Matt Hardy will never die.
Yeah. And now both...
He breaks, but he never dies.
Isn't it ironic she's the single one now? Just pointing it out.
Yeah. No, it's not really ironic. She's a whore.
Well.
In the best way, though.
And you can't teach that.
Right?
But yeah, no, pretty hard-hitting match. And we ended up seeing Sasha Banks.
Sausage Banks.
Now, the one thing...
Saucy Banks, for the win.
With the Banks statement, she tapped out Alexa Bliss.
That's true.
Became the new Raw Women's Champion and won her first championship on something other than Monday Night Raw.
And did that Banks statement ever look snug?
Yes.
Yeah, the first little bit she did, yeah, but when she clinched it in, yeah, it's a good thing that Alexa Bliss is flexible.
Well,
otherwise.
Her best friend is known for the hug, she's known for the snug.
Snug hug.
Yeah.
Tag team.
The hug snug.
Ew.
And that's our, third?
One, two, three, technically fourth on the show. Yeah,
fourth title switch on the show.
And then we move on to...
Really looking good for the champions.
Right? The champions are really representing well.
Yes.
Thus far. And then I posed a question. Has there ever been a show where every single champion has lost the title? I'm legitimately asking because I don't know. So if you know it, let me know.
And if you don't know it...
Shut up.
Go read a book, you moron.
Exactly. Sean Martin concurs with a nice, yeah. With a nice hearty head shake.
Yeah.
And then we move on to Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. The demon versus the eater of worlds. The eater of demons.
And we
the
had
demon
a,
of worlds.
We had a little bit of the whole, you got the whole world in my hand from Finn Balor's entrance.
It was interesting.
It was.
Yeah, and then he did a little gymnastics with that little thing there at the start. That was nice.
I believe Mrs. Minai informed us that it's called rhythmic gymnastics.
Well, he made it look nice.
Yeah.
It looked like he took a page out of Will Ferrell from Old School.
But made it more badass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree. It was all right. But I have to say, this match was mostly Demon Finn Balor.
I actually want to say this match was a little underwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, Bray didn't do a lot, but what he did do seemed fairly devastating, but then he almost got no-sold, and then Finn Balor did a lot, but didn't seem to impact a lot. I don't know. This seemed like another match that was kind of like, what was the point?
It seems like this match sounds good on paper.
Oh, absolutely.
But the performance didn't live up to the expectation.
No, that's... No. What'd you think?
I thought the match was very underwhelming. I think it could have done without the demon gimmick.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like seeing the demon gimmick.
Oh, we all love seeing the demon gimmick. I just think that it was wasted in this particular setting. I think it was thrown out there because we haven't seen it in a while, and it happens to be SummerSlam, but not that the story had actually called for it.
No, but on a side note, congratulations to Finn Balor for successfully making it through a SummerSlam unhurt.
Well,
that we know of.
Yeah, we don't know that yet.
Yes, that we know of.
Yeah, that we know of.
But I agree with you guys. Kind of underwhelming. It's too bad. Oh, well.
Yeah, so Finn Balor does get the win.
Yep.
And this feud is likely over.
Well, I shouldn't say hopefully, because I mean, I think they can do some good stuff together, but if they're going to do it like that, maybe leave it alone.
Yeah. And I believe this now takes us to the U.S. Championship match.
Raw Tag Team Titles.
Oh, ginger snap.
Yes, where I see Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins versus The Bar.
Yeah.
Oh, what a good match.
And
it was a good match, yes. Another fantastic tag match.
Yeah, it seemed like the tag match has really stepped up tonight.
Yes, I agree.
And
this is a little bit of a side note, but one thing I noticed as the bell was ringing is the size difference between Rollins and Ambrose against Sheamus and Cesaro.
Sheamus and Cesaro, big boys.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's deceptive because there's a lot of big guys on the Raw roster. But they're big boys.
Cesaro, Cassius Ohno's favorite wrestler right now.
Yes. Yes, he is.
I actually thought this might have been the most hard-hitting match.
overall.
So far, so far,
so far.
Up until this point.
Yes. At match 10 overall, this was the hardest hitting one.
Yeah. And Sheamus definitely laying them in. Big Cass, take a fucking lesson.
He was, it's too bad he's not from Scotland because he was potatoing the fuck out of people.
I think that's an Irish thing, actually.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing that he's from Ireland.
Yeah. Point is, he's potatoing the fuck out of people.
Which kind of seems weird because so is Finn. And
he is light.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Speaking of things that are stiff, how about Cesaro getting pissed off with the beach ball?
That was hilarious. Ripped it in twine.
Got a pop for that, too.
Yes. And then he did actually a little mini Cesaro swing.
Yeah.
Which we haven't seen in quite a while. Little tease.
And I think one of the cool spots was the actual finish of this match. Whereas they looked like they went for their signature double team, which is basically assisted, I believe, is Celtic Crnot, or
I don't know.
Whatever it's called.
Whatever the finish is.
White Noise, assisted White Noise.
Yeah, like a spiked White Noise.
Yeah. Anyway, and as that we see, this was onto Ambrose. Rollins pops up, does a hurricane run off the top to Cesaro, who takes out Sheamus.
Cesaro into Sheamus.
Oh. Therefore, taking out Cesaro.
Who was holding Ambrose, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. And then proceeds to hit his new knee finisher.
Rainmaking knee.
Yeah. And then
Knee maker.
Maybe it's called Burn It Down.
Maybe it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then that turns into Dirty Deeds for the 1-2-3. So we now have new Raw Tag Team Champions.
I'm just going to go up there and say it. The Shield.
Two-thirds of the Shield.
Yeah, and they even admitted it themselves. They don't have a tag name, but they are two-thirds of the Shield. Call it what it was.
Exactly.
And, first time we saw Seth Rollins in red. What do we think?
Apparently there's a lot of stuff online that he was really working the cosplay for Deadpool.
Yeah.
But I liked it.
No.
I did.
I liked it, and I think that it was kind of... I think there was some subliminal seeds that were planted with another certain third member of the Shield.
I was just going to say, does it not seem weird that all the former Shield members wore the same colors? For the most part,
yeah.
Ambrose just wore red on a hoodie, and that's about it.
But still, I mean, he has his typical attire, but he did wear red, which is unlike him.
We all know Ambrose is the...
lunatic fringe.
Well, we'll just see. He's your black spot on an all-white dog.
What does that mean?
He's the one that stands out because he's different.
Yes. Jeans. Etc. Etc.
He's just a little bit out there.
Yes, he is.
So, but yeah.
And then next match, AJ Styles.
Against.
Kevin Owens.
For.
USA. Title.
With.
Shane McMahon.
As.
The guest roofer.
Oh.
E. Yeah.
Yeah.
Aficionado.
Sure. Yeah. This one was...
It wasn't a bad match.
No, I actually didn't mind it. It was very back and forth. There was a lot of hitting McMahon from both sides. That, I mean, at least it was even in that sense.
Can I say the one glaring difference from this than one of the previous AJ Kevin Owens matches? They actually had a spot where the referee was taken out. Kevin Owens was then put in a submission. And then he actually tapped out on this one.
Yeah.
And made the referee knock out something worth noting about.
Yes, it wasn't awkward. That was supposed to happen. It didn't.
Yeah, so.
Overall, I liked it. I mean, Shane got hit a few times. Kevin Owens is absolutely hilarious, as per usual. You fall off buildings. How are you hurt? Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Just, yeah?
I think the whole Shane McMahon being the special guest referee thing, if it doesn't transpire into anything else, it was a waste. Like, he was down just as often as every other referee, and
I think
more though, because referees don't get up after they're down usually.
I do think that this match had two purposes needed to share. One, we wanted to keep AJ Styles as the U.S. champion, becoming the first champion to successfully retain his title
at match number 11.
Yes. And then two, plant the seeds for an upcoming feud between Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon.
Which, and I think it did.
Yeah.
It definitely, honestly, you could definitely actually keep this going as almost like a three-way feud with the way things went.
But really also SummerSlam and WrestleMania, which are about 6 months away from each other, either feuds start then or they begin then. So this could be the true beginning of a Kevin Owens versus Shane McMahon feud while seeing the finale of the AJ Styles Kevin Owens.
That's very true.
So, I don't know, from what I'm used to when I watch WWE, this was the one that kept it on like the same kind of riff with what I'm used to.
Both guys got in McMahon's face and then were pushed and rolled up by the other guy.
I did find it a little weird that AJ was the first one to physically provoke Shane McMahon and not Kevin Owens.
I think it was more because of the history, maybe. But, I mean, I think they told the story like well enough. It made sense to me, but I enjoyed it. My favorite match on the card, but I enjoyed it.
At the very least, I think the one thing that does come out, AJ was the one who did not try to use Shane McMahon as a shield, whereas Kevin Owens did, and Shane McMahon actually made the right calls as an official. He didn't.
He did call it down the middle.
And he showed no favoritism.
No, absolutely not.
Whereas they had a pop-up powerbomb from Owens to AJ with a foot on the rope.
And he called it, he
called it, and that's what eventually led to Kevin Owens taking his eye off the ball and eventually losing.
Any other thoughts on this, Shawnee boy?
No, I thought the match was good overall. I agree with you guys' points. I'm not a big fan of Shane McMahon.
Well, fair enough.
But he falls on buildings.
Falls off buildings.
Well, both. Sometimes on buildings.
Here comes the money.
Yeah. I'd make a real inappropriate joke. I'm not going to because this podcast does not need to be 4 hours long.
Fair enough. Moving on.
Yep.
Jinder.
Don't hinder.
Sings. Don't hinder. Versus Shinsuke.
Nakamura. And you won a bet?
Did I?
Well, you gave the over-under for Shinsuke's entrance.
Over-under Shinsuke's entrance. I said 3.5 minutes. It was 3 minutes, 36 seconds.
Which I think it might be a little longer.
It might have been, but because that's when the music stopped. Yeah.
We went from the beginning of the music to the end. However, the fans kept singing. I don't know. I may have counted that a little bit too because Jinder music hadn't hit, so therefore it was still part of his entrance.
Yeah. Point is, long-ass entrance. Yeah. Very long. Oh, it was an alright match.
That is one of the things that is the selling point of Shinsuke, is his entrance.
Yeah, that's very true.
So,
his artist-like personality.
I did read something on Twitter, though. Imagine at WrestleMania when you have 70,000 people sing Shinsuke's theme song. Do you really need to play the audio?
Yeah. My question is, you think they're going to have to do the old Undertaker treatment, have him come halfway? Because the way he walks to the ring, this is going to be like a 15-minute entrance.
Yeah, but WrestleMania is like a 24-hour show.
Oh, boy. We got to start training for that. Oh, boy.
All right. Oh, you need more beer.
Start stocking up now. Let's get some kegs and cocaine or something to stay awake. It's going to be a long one.
Buy a brewery.
Yeah, I agree.
What did we all think of the match?
I didn't mind it. I didn't like the ending. It was weird. It was forced, rushed.
Yeah. I felt the same thing. What about you?
I thought the match was okay. I was a little suspect of how these two guys' styles were going to clash going into it. I was happily surprised. I thought the match was quite good until the ending. I would agree that felt very force rushed. It almost seemed like they were told, you got to take it home now. Jinder seemed kind of rushed and nervous hitting his own finish.
Well, he didn't even hit his own finish right. That's not the problem. Like, he completely changed it. It was weird.
He just kind of messed up the arm positioning.
Yeah.
But he did eventually, he did what he had to do to get the 1-2-3.
I guess it worked, so.
And I think that's kind of what the surprise is a lot of people, is that Shinsuke did not win the WWE title at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I think the big question isn't why didn't Shinsuke win, but how crazy will it be when Shinsuke probably wins it at WrestleMania.
I could see it at WrestleMania.
Which I think is the bigger
No, you know what? I can see it. It's going to be at like Raw, like December sometime. Yeah. Like, just because.
I mean, imagine Shinsuke going in, winning the Royal Rumble, winning the heavyweight title at WrestleMania. I think that just holds a lot more substance than a, hey, you won this number one contendership 2 weeks before the pay-per-view.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree.
I mean,
I think Motorhead said it best. The chase is better than the catch, and we haven't seen the chase with Shinsuke Nakamura yet.
That's true.
In fact, this is actually his first true main event match on the main roster in a major pay-per-view.
That is true.
So, in my eyes, he was one of the most over guys all show.
Yep.
And there's something to be said. He is definitely a star.
A rising star.
And I think you need to treat him like that. You don't give him that, you know, here you go, because you're big. Make a moment, make another thing.
I think if you put the title on Shinsuke Nakamura tonight, you're doing him a disservice. You would be doing the same thing that happened with Jinder Mahal. And I know that he wasn't the undercard guy, but he really hasn't won all that many matches on the main roster. And he would have won a number one contendership the same way that Jinder did and been pushed into that championship spot the same way Jinder had.
But I mean, yeah.
And everybody would have applauded it, where they're complaining about the exact same thing.
My thing, too, is that other than Randy Orton, who has Jinder beaten?
Like Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
Mojo Rawley.
Technicality.
But I mean, again, like, that's the list.
John Cena.
Yeah. But at the same time, I go back to your point, Sean, about the rush, because we look at how Bray Wyatt was used earlier this year. We looked how Naomi was used instead of the build there, or even Bayley at that point too. Yep. But instead of building to a good chase and eventual payoff, it was just a quick, here you go. I thought the same thing was with Sasha and Charlotte too, when they were just handing the titles back. It wasn't so much, I mean, I understand maybe that story a little bit more because they're so evenly matched, it can go back and forth anytime. But with Bray, you had this just character that was larger than life, and a true build would have been so much better than what he ended up getting.
Yep.
And I think the same thing goes here with Shinsuke. A lot of people think he's a bigger level of star than Bray Wyatt. Therefore, he deserves a bigger story and a bigger stage, I think, too. So,
yes. Now, before the main event, anybody want to address the Colonel Royal that happened for KFC? How great was that?
Shawn Michaels is now Colonel Sanders?
Yeah, so is Dolph Ziggler, Big Show, Becky Lynch.
It's one more thing Dolph Ziggler is taken off of.
Yeah. We should do something next week about how to book him. Let's book Dolph Ziggler next week.
Yeah, that could be a segment next week. Is
apparently R-Truth just dresses like Colonel Sanders now.
That's R-Truth. I mean, wasn't there like in the Royal Rumble? Didn't he grab like a ladder, like he's in a ladder match or something?
I believe in the Royal Rumble, he grabbed the ladder and thought it was a ladder match.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? It's funny. It works for him.
He pulls it off.
You know what? And he's not a younger guy, so if this is the way he can stay in the company, good for him.
Well, he's doing the Sandow, right?
Yeah.
Give me something bad and I'll make it good.
Chicken shit to chicken salad.
Mm.
Yeah.
But anyways, making Molson Canadian Coors Banquet.
Exactly. Point is, Shawn Michaels is now Colonel Sanders. Moving on, the main event time.
Yeah.
Shawn Martins, who was in the main event?
The main event was our Fatal 4-Way for the Universal Championship between the Beast Incarnate, Brock Lesnar, the Monster Among Men, Braun Strowman, the Destroyer, Samoa Joe, and Roman Reigns.
Roman, whatever. Mm-hmm. Roman, I don't give a fuck, Reigns.
And, this was four guys just beating the shit out of each other. And it was fantastic.
I have never been more of a Braun fan than I am right now. He's a little bit of all right.
He is the MVP of SummerSlam 2017.
Hands down.
Putting Lesnar through two tables, throwing a table on Lesnar, throwing a chair into both Samoa Joe and...
We need to clarify with the throwing the chair, throwing an office chair, a wheelie office chair.
Like he did, was it last week or the week before on Raw?
Yeah, and he wasn't also in the shot at the time.
No.
All you see is a flying office chair go from one side of the screen and just absolutely catapult the Samoan...
The Samoan duo.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was hilariously amazing.
Now, I do throw out one bit of heat towards Roman Reigns for using the sharp part of the stairs that go around the post, and he hit Braun Strowman in the back of the head with that, on the side of the
opened
head.
Opened him up.
Opened him up a bit. Like, I mean, I know you're, you know, top dog, whatever, but dude, be fucking careful. Like, that was just careless. Straight up careless.
And nobody will say anything to him because he's the
big
dog.
He'll kick him off the bus. What the fuck? Get off my bus!
I don't know if he'll do that to Braun.
Braun will just eat him.
Yeah, Braun will just, like, flick the bus and it'll go from one country to another.
I bet you that's how they avoid paying for gas. He just picks it up and just lawn darts it to the next country.
He just Brett Favre's the motherfucker.
I think that Braun can only get the bus from Chipotle to Chipotle, though.
Mm. Hey, there's a Chipotle in usually most major cities.
Hey, he also has an app on his phone of where he poops.
Yes, he does.
He is struggle-icious.
Yeah. He can be our heater any day.
Hell, he can be the main guy in our group. I'd be alright with it. I mean, you can tell him no? Fuck that!
Oh, it depends. Is he taking our beer?
I mean, if he brings some. I'll ask him politely, and if he growls at me, I'll just let him have it. I mean, what are you gonna do?
Steal it and run away?
Anyways, back on track. What did you guys think of the finish of the main event?
I enjoyed it.
I actually liked it. I technically called it.
You did technically call it.
What we saw was Brock Lesnar get absolutely beaten the fuck up to the point where Braun actually flipped a table on top of him.
The third announce table.
Yeah.
The German announce table.
No, I believe that was the JBL.
Point is, Scheiße.
Yeah. It was one of the tables.
Yeah. Whatever. Scheiße.
So anyway, the EMTs come and take Brock off on a stretcher.
Which, by the way, side note, if you're going to be an EMT at the show, even if it is a work like this and had Brock Lesnar come back, don't be stupid. Protect the neck. Put the neck brace, the C-spine collar on. Do it right. It looks so shoddy. As soon as that happened, you call he's coming back. And I mean, I don't blame it. I mean, it looked like shit.
Just out of curiosity, perhaps their neck brace couldn't fit Lesnar's neck.
They make neck braces for people who don't have necks. From my time when I was doing the paramedic stuff,
it's pointless.
Yeah, no. From my time doing the paramedic stuff, there is a brace that will fit. It might cost a lot more, but there is a brace that will fit.
But does everyone have that?
They should.
Yeah, they should.
I would think that if you're the EMT on hand,
especially the EMT for the Barclay Center, they should.
Well, we saw the nets. They look like a spinal fusion waiting to happen.
Maybe they ran out giving it to the Nets and the Islanders. Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah. I mean, Eberle plays for them now.
Ooh, stocking up. Stock up, Barclays Center.
But anyways, he makes the return.
The miraculous comeback.
Yeah. And, ends up F5-ing Roman Reigns for the 1-2-3.
To the crowd's delight, might we add.
Now, are we surprised Roman Reigns was the one who took the pin?
No.
Really?
No, I'm not surprised at all.
Because part of me still believes that their match for next year's WrestleMania is still Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns.
It could be, although if it keeps up this way, it could be Brock versus Braun.
No. That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing hints of Brock versus Braun.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see Brock and Braun at Royal Rumble.
What about Brock versus Braun at Survivor Series?
I think we might actually see a Samoa Joe in that mix up until Survivor Series.
Cool. I'm okay with that.
Because, I mean, the one thing I think we take out of this is that two guys didn't get pinned. Braun and Samoa Joe.
Yep.
So, do they have a beef where they should get the next shot moving forward?
Yeah, that's very, very possible. The one thing I like is the last two matches that Brock Lesnar's had, he's escaped. He hasn't won them. He's escaped them. Like, versus Samoa Joe, he was getting his ass kicked for a lot of it and managed to pull out a win. And for this one, again, same thing. He managed to pull out a win of one guy after there was just a hellacious beating of all four guys, in particular Brock Lesnar. It was good. It makes him look a little more human. Little more human, little less indestructible, and elevates three guys to the same level.
Well, I mean, just by nickname standpoint, a monster should be more scary than a beast.
Depends on the beast, I guess. But they're... I can't say that. Never mind. That doesn't work.
Well, a beast should take down a dog, and a monster should take out a beast.
And a destroyer should destroy everyone.
You would think.
You would think. But that's the thing. I can actually believably see each guy in this match defeating anybody else.
Yep.
And that creates a division at the top that's actually awesome then. Because anybody at any time could win.
Well, I think, too, the one thing we don't see very often, especially on pay-per-views now, are full-out number one contender matches. I think now with these four guys, you may be able to do, say, Braun and Brock, but then between Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns, you can have a number one contenders match.
Yep.
And now you can actually start setting up multiple shows with these four guys, and that could be your face of your heavyweight title picture for, you know, half a year to a year.
Yeah.
Yep. I think your story going forward will be Samoa Joe, Braun Strowman, and Brock Lesnar. I don't think Roman Reigns is going to be a factor. I have a small theory that he's going to be busy with a darker force going forward towards Survivor Series.
So Nation of Domination.
Are they making a comeback?
That would be fantastic.
Or New Day. Which one?
No, I'm going to go with a returning... I think there's going to be a returning Undertaker tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw.
Oh, really? So not racial. Good job.
Not racial.
Keeping it clean. Respect.
Yeah.
Nice. Now, what would prompt him to come back?
I think there'll be something... The way that Roman has been pushing the "this is my yard now" stuff, depending on the way that he addresses the people tomorrow night about how this is his yard, it's been reported that The Undertaker is in full Undertaker garb. His hair has been dyed. His beard has been dyed. He is looking like he's in somewhat decent shape.
For a 50-whatever-year-old.
And he's in New York. He's in Brooklyn. He was backstage tonight. Okay. So WWE's got two more nights of TV to tape in the Barclays Center. And I think we will see The Undertaker on WWE Monday Night Raw tomorrow night.
You heard it here first. So if this happens, Mike the Ref, you owe Shawn Martins a case of beer.
I'm actually saying we might see a tease between John Cena and Undertaker.
That'd be all right.
Because John Cena is a free agent. He could now be...
That's true.
He's
done all the damage he can do on SmackDown. Might as well go to Raw.
Well, and I think, too, like, if... Again, like, I go back to the shakeup. I think, personally, Roman Reigns might go back to a certain stable. And this is where we were alluding it earlier with all the Shield people kind of rocking the same colors.
Yeah, that would...
At some point tonight.
Black and red.
I do like the story that Ambrose and Rollins reunited because... Separately, they were having issues getting tasks done. Now we see Roman Reigns failing to capture the Universal title.
Again.
Exactly. So maybe he goes back to what he knows, and the Shield were, if not the most dominant, arguably one of the most dominant factions ever in WWE.
Not to mention the fact that there's apparently supposed to be some sort of shakeup possibly coming soon. What if they trade New Day back to Raw, everyone from the Shield to SmackDown... Roman Reigns gets the U.S. title. Boom, it's like a few years ago. How about that?
I think it was Dean Ambrose that had the U.S. title.
Don't go into it. Just go with it.
I don't think he ever defended it in like the...
No, he had it for like 3 or 4 months and defended it maybe a couple times on house shows.
The match he loses, he has sympathy because he defends it against the entire roster in a battle royal.
Yes.
It's just so random. They lost it to Sheamus, of all people.
I think it was longer than a few months. I think it was like the longest U.S. title reign of the modern era.
I think he was a week away from a full year.
Yeah.
That's how you politic your way into the main event. And I like that.
Never defended it.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So yeah, now we look at SummerSlam being your midway point from WrestleMania to the next WrestleMania. Where do we project WWE going from now in 6 months?
New Orleans.
That's a good answer.
Right?
But what happens if they, you know, having a water issue?
San Antonio. I don't know.
So the future, like the just the direction-wise of the company, what do we think of?
I'm thinking honestly, if they keep going the way it is, I can see Brock versus Braun, then have the Shield back together, maybe as tag champs or chasing the tag titles against somebody.
Now, with the shakeup, could we see the long-awaited, perhaps Shield Club?
That would be
formation. Good. All six members are technically on the Raw roster. And yes, I'm going to go with Gallows, Anderson, and Balor,
the creator of
this club.
Okay. You know what? That yeah.
Because I would not be surprised that we see a AJ Styles Nakamura match at WrestleMania.
I wouldn't be surprised at that at all
either. No, that would make sense. But would it be for the WWE title?
Does it have to be?
No, it doesn't have to be.
I don't think those guys necessarily need the title.
No. But, I mean, we did talk about, you know, him possibly getting the title, maybe at a Mania.
Well, I think I just said, like, if he was going to win him, he was going to have his moment of chase, and it's going to have this story where there's a payoff at the end.
That's very possible.
It doesn't necessarily need to be WrestleMania.
Now, what would stop it from having, say, The Miz is kind of floundered on Raw? He's not really used much. What about him going back to SmackDown, AJ to Raw? Then you have the club, which was organized in WWE versus the Shield.
Well, here's my theory. If John Cena is coming from SmackDown to Raw, you're bringing a big name.
Yep.
Therefore, Raw, by just situation, should be losing a big name.
Yeah.
I think Finn Balor might be that guy.
I could see that.
And maybe there could be a shakeup with the tag teams. And I think Gallows and Anderson could benefit more from a move, seeing how by December, Revival should be back together. And you got the Revival, Hardys, maybe Shield. I mean.
And then the Bar still.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Plus, I think in just Balor's case, I think he'd work better on SmackDown because there seems to be a lot of bigger guys on Raw.
Well, and
I mean, I don't mean like
matchup wise, there's a lot too. We could finally see Balor and AJ, which has never happened.
Yep, we could see Balor and Nakamura, which has happened, but why not happen again? That'd be good.
So like, or even Balor Randy Orton.
That'd be all right.
There's a lot of obviously different possibilities
there. Yep.
But my thing is if this shakeup is going to happen, I hope it absolutely signifies where this company goes in the next 6 months, because I think these next 6 months are going to be huge for WWE.
Yep. I mean, in my opinion, I don't think wrestling's been bigger than right now in quite a while, years even, but.
And I do believe, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, as we're talking about this shakeup, I want to go out on the record and say that I'm really disappointed in seeing these shakeups. I don't know about you guys, but I missed the lottery draft. I think there could be something that could be earned from that.
You know, the lottery draft I always liked because not it's like everybody's available to be taken, but at the same time, only a certain amount of people can be taken because there's only certain spots for trades or whatever.
I actually didn't dislike the way they did it this year, where nobody knew. You just
kind of showed up.
You just saw it. And so you're kind of watching the show of, okay, who's the guy? Who's coming over? And I did think that at least brought some certainty of mystery, and you're guessing and you're bringing in, because it may not have been necessarily SmackDown to Raw. It could have been NXT. We saw that with Shinsuke. Right? So there's a lot of different possibilities. Also, I'm going to make the point. NXT is stepping up their game huge.
Oh, yeah.
And I do think at some point, people on the main roster are going to get sick and tired of being
Colonel Sanders.
Well,
but it's finger looking good.
But at the same time, if you're, you know, the Kevin Owens or you're even John Cena's, but you're the big guys on these shows, I mean, do you want to be considered, okay, You might be the champion of this film, but you know, everyone is going to be talking about NXT TakeOver over SummerSlam.
Yeah. Although, I think this year, even though SummerSlam was 14 and a half hours long, I think it was still actually pretty good compared to other pay-per-views.
But this might have been one of the best TakeOver match
shows that we saw. TakeOver card start to finish was top-notch. As per usual.
I've never seen a bad TakeOver. But
no. This one especially was next level.
But dare I say, at some point, we're going to have to see this change on the main roster, whether it's just how the shows are put together or what happens. Maybe it's a little bit more of a risque kind of environment, but at some point, I do think NXT is going to push that main roster to being a better product overall.
So what you're saying is that these big money players are going to get sick of being outclassed by the quote-unquote rookies.
Yes.
I would hope so.
Plus, people are going to want to go down to NXT and work Adam Cole, baby.
But at the same time,
I want to work Adam Cole, baby.
Me too.
If you have guys on the main roster saying, hey, put me back down. All of a sudden, what is your main show? Is it Raw, SmackDown, or NXT?
I'm just hoping if this becomes a thing, that Vince isn't like, you know what? Maybe I should have a look at this NXT. And then does what he's done to Raw and SmackDown. I really hope Triple H keeps control, keeps doing what he's doing, and doesn't change it that much. Yeah. Just brings in maybe a guy or two here and there.
One of the interesting things that I still see with NXT is that it has the attractive factor that Impact always had for a lot of the guys, in that the schedule is so much lighter. The guys and girls down in NXT are in their own beds every night. They're on the road, a limited schedule. But when they're on the road in tour buses. They're not taking care of all their own travel the same way that they do up on the main roster.
That is true. And I mean, they have three shots they know about it months in advance. Like, we're going these three or four places. We're going all together. Everyone pitches in to set the ring up and all that stuff. It's I think, a lot more camaraderie that the indies have. That these guys aren't like, you know, show up, do a show, leave, show.
It's the indies with money, man.
And you know what? They don't get paid as much down there, but
like, they're taken care of.
They're taken care of. And as you said, most nights they're at home in their own beds, which would be
nice. A guy like Chris Jericho has admitted on his podcast that the life that the NXT lives is not a bad life.
No.
But at the same time, I think that was the point of the roster split, is to try to see if, oh, we do have this amount, like this just vast amount of talent. If we split it in half and half the guys are doing maybe half the shows, you know, can we get more out of them in the long run?
But the problem is they're still doing all the same house shows. Yeah. Like, for Raw, they're doing Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They're doing Raw Monday. And for SmackDown, it seems like they're doing almost like either a Friday or a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, then SmackDown Tuesday. It's really no different. They're just doing different days.
It's the company that's getting more money. They're making more revenue off of it.
Absolutely, because now instead of doing, like, everyone travels everywhere, now it's like you're having a SmackDown Live house show while Raw's going on.
But to kind of also feed you get that out, or just an argument against that, if you're, say, Seth Rollins, and you got this new shirt out, and you're like, oh, you're only going to work 3 times a week instead of 5, those are 2 days where your merch isn't being pushed out on shows either.
That is true.
So you are losing money.
Yeah, that is true.
So that becomes a little bit of a, you know.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
I mean, and the one thing we will admit, from part A to part B, or part 1 to part 2, depending on how you want to look at it, Maniac somehow got color.
Yep. Not, I'm bleeding.
Not a tan. He somehow cut his toe open.
I kicked a door.
Yeah.
I was chasing the Murph.
And I kicked a door,
and I think I dislocated the tip of my middle toe on my right foot, and it's got color. And every once in a while, it keeps bleeding. So, yeah, I mean, independent podcast struggles, I guess.
What did you learn?
Don't kick doors.
It's a good lesson.
Right?
Children.
Good for here and in life.
Don't kick doors. It will break your toe.
True here and in life.
Yeah. If you don't want a bleeding toe, stop kicking doors.
Or wear shoes.
Yeah.
Steel toe, preferably. Next time I'm going through that goddamn door. No, take it with me.
Oh, you can't say goddamn. We found that out in SummerSlam.
Going through that GD door.
Yeah.
That did shock me. God damn, that's something you can't say? You can say son of a bitch on national television.
I guess it's taking the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah, you know what? There's still a lot of people, especially in the southern part of the states, that are very religious. So, okay. They're wrong. I'm putting that out there. They're wrong. But whatever.
So, yeah. Anyway, I think this concludes part two.
Two!
Of episode 37 of Sound Struggle.
Thank you for finally coming on, yes. Sean. We need to do this more.
Oh, absolutely. It's been a pleasure to be a part of the Sounds of Struggle.
And you're always one of us, buddy. Tag Struggle.
For
life.
Unless we have other shit to do. Then, you know, we'll do it after.
But we're still a part of it.
Anyway, we are Tag Struggle.
We are real.
We are spectacular.
And strugglicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's just how we roll. So
later?
Later, bitches! When your heart's pounding out of your chest, you can feel the thing shaking as you're running out of breath. If you're ready to rock, we'll just let it roll. Are you ready now? Are you ready to move with me? Just move with me. Move with me. Come on, get up and go.